Welcome to our podcast. I'm Frank Long, Editorial Director of Rehab Management and Physical Therapy Products. Our guest for this program is Yorick Whiting, Physical Therapist and Senior Director of Global Clinical Education at Chattanooga, a DJO Global company. Yorick, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yorick, a new product was launched recently by your company, the Chattanooga Vectra Neo. Can you explain what that product is all about?
Sure. Vectra Neo is a modality station. We refer to it as a modality station, meaning it's a tool used as what we refer to in the rehab industry as a modality. And in the physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech pathology world, the rehab world, the modalities that are in common use are things like ultrasound, electrotherapy, laser, EMG, biofeedback. And the reason we mention or we call this a modality station is it incorporates all of these. We have created a lot of information in our database, or we've collected a lot of information in our database about what it is that rehab professionals need and what it is that they want. And we ended up with this tool after a period of about, 2.5 years of very detailed voice of the customer activities. These are activities where we go out and we ask people what they want and what they need. We look at the market, we look at practice patterns, and we come up with a certain profile. And we ended up with putting all these things together and ended up with what we now have, Vectra Neo. And even though Chattanooga as a brand has been in the business for well over 60 years, we feel that this tool is absolutely the best we've come up with yet. It is simple, it's very powerful, and it solves a lot of headaches that clinicians have today.
How does a product like the Vectra Neo get developed? Are clinicians consulted, or is it more the product of a group of clever design engineers?
That's a great question, and that really goes to the heart of what I just kind of alluded to. The process is called the voice of the customer, and the voice of the customer is a term given to a process that leaves the engineering team. It's well known that if you design products, and I guess Chattanooga has been guilty of that as well in the past, when you design a product, you may have great ideas. I, for example, I'm a therapist, I'm a physical therapist, and I know what I think my colleagues want and need. And I could sit down right now and draw out a fancy new gadget that I am sure will be a total hit in the market. And then I can even convince my engineers to build it. And we launch it with great fanfare, and we put a lot of marketing effort behind it, only to find out a few months and years later that it's a total flop. And the problem there would have been that we never actually went and vetted my ideas against how it would be perceived by the clinics and the clinicians. So the voice of the customer activity is the process that gives shape, structured shape, to this vetting process. It is the most time-consuming activity in the whole development process. The whole development process is very structured and it's mandated to follow a certain structure. So this voice of the customer activity occurs mainly in the beginning, but then occurs at different intervals during the time until the launch as well. So this main activity took place in the first year, I would say, year and a half of the development process. We went through a long list of existing customers. Those would be physical therapists and occupational therapists, physicians, chiropractors, athletic trainers. We touched on all those customers and called them and said, what do you want? And then we went to administrators, people that own buildings, people that run hospitals. And we said to them, okay, here you've got these clinicians that are using these tools. What do you want these tools to do for you, operationally speaking? What are some of the problems that you want these things to solve? Or, in a more general sense, what are your needs? What do you want? What do you need? And they would come back with things like, we want it to not cost us any money, or we want it to generate billable services. So we gather all that information, and then the engineers go back and they create a box. They create something that we think captures what we heard. In this instance, it literally was a wooden box with an iPad mounted inside there with a dummy version of a software. And then we went back and told people, presented this to people, to the same people, and said, so what do you think of this? And we asked it literally like that, in a very general way, trying to get their feedback. Now, of course, those same people have long forgotten about what they said to us, but we haven't. And so we gather their impressions and use that whole process to fine-tune and tweak the product. And as we get closer to the finish line, we gather some more feedback and ultimately end up with what we think will be a hit in the market. So it's a lengthy process, but it's a fun process.
The tagline for Vectra Neo states, simplified, powerful solutions deliver the results you demand. Yorick, please explain what is simple about the device.
That's a great question, and actually I was hoping you would ask that. The simplicity of it is the number one request that came out of the voice of the customer activity. Clinicians over and over and over again would tell us, whatever you give us, don't make it so darn complicated. It's always so difficult to find what I need. Or people would say, you know, honestly, I have forgotten much of what I learned about my electrotherapy, so I may have a hint, I may have a thought that electrotherapy might be a good idea for this patient, but I've forgotten exactly what I need to do. So just give me a machine that tells me what to do, something simple that will get me the results I need or that gets me to the point I need to be quickly and easily and simply. And it all boiled down to a message to our engineering team that said, whatever this device does, whatever the result, whatever the output this device will give the clinician, it needs to be no more than 3 clicks away. The interface, therefore, was designed that way to make that possible in absolutely every single instance. So the clinician can easily navigate the device. They can easily find their way to a certain spot. There are all kinds of anatomical images in there that will help them find that spot. And really, all of it is just 3 clicks away. It is very, very simple, very, very intuitive, so that both very skilled clinicians and more novice clinicians can get the most out of it without too much hassle.
And what about the powerful part? It often seems that powerful and simple do not go hand in hand when it comes to medical devices.
Yeah, that's very true. It's extremely difficult to capture all the capabilities that you need and then still package it into a package that is very simple and intuitive to navigate. And the way we looked at it, when I say we, it's the people that collect the information from the clinicians that work inside of this company, we essentially said to engineering, well, that's your headache, that's your problem. But whatever it is, we want this, we want that, we want that, we want that, we want all these features. For electrotherapy, for example, we needed to have 12 waveforms in there, which, to my knowledge, is the most of any modality station out there on the market. So we needed all 12 in there. We also wanted ultrasound in there, and we wanted the ability to combine ultrasound with electrotherapy, any of those waveforms. We wanted surface EMG as a biofeedback tool in there, and we wanted to be able to combine that with electrotherapy so that the machine kicks in stimulation mode based on the patient's effort. We wanted the ability to put laser in there. So I'm listing all these things to give you an impression of how much is in there and how powerful the device really is. All of that needed to be folded into a very simple, intuitive envelope. And I credit the engineers. They came up with something absolutely beautiful that really captures both those elements.
Yorick, here's a difficult question for you. Why would a clinician care about modalities anyway? I would have thought that the use of modalities is no longer seen as an integral part of a clinician's treatment program.
That is a great question, and it's a question that many, many clinicians indeed have out there. I'm going to give you my both biased answer, but I can also confidently state that it's an evidence-based answer. Modalities in this country and in many other countries have seen a growth, a resurgence of interest in some markets and a definite slacking off in others. And it is all driven by a general lack of or perceived lack of time. A clinician may go through his or her day and say, well, I don't have time to do electrotherapy. Reimbursement challenges are significant. People that use modalities like clinicians, they feel constantly pressured to deliver more. Greater productivity is always demanded. So they look at modalities saying, well, I don't have time for that. Let me not use it. That is an unfortunate development because it really hides the fact that they, with modalities, could achieve more than they now can without modalities. Now, I often compare it to the use of a power tool in the construction business. Let's say you're a carpenter and you want to build a beautiful cabinet. Well, you can do it by hand, and of course, that will, if you're very, very skilled, deliver a beautiful cabinet as the end result. But the modern carpenter has learned to use power tools with which he can do either the same product or a better product in a much shorter amount of time. And modalities for a skilled clinician is exactly like that. It's his power tool. With modalities, you can achieve things that you cannot achieve either not at all or you cannot achieve them as well or as fast that you with modalities. So in other words, the addition of modalities is a powerful addition to the arsenal of a clinician. And I just want to give one practical example to illustrate that. Let's assume you have a patient who is very, very weak. As a matter of fact, they're so weak because of whatever the problem that they cannot really participate properly in an exercise session. So a therapist approaching this patient looks at him or her and says, well, I know what you need in order to get out of this hospital. You need to get stronger. But the only thing that I know how to do with you in order to make you stronger is to give you exercise. Unfortunately, you are too weak to engage in meaningful exercise. So as a therapist, you're now stuck between a rock and a hard place. And you end up seeing these therapists doing passive exercise with these patients, moving their leg up and down in the bed because they're just physically too weak to engage in exercise. So therefore, this patient is, if they're going to get stronger, it's going to take a very, very long time. Instead, the therapist could pull out the electrotherapy portion of his or her Vectra Neo and apply the electrodes, quickly find the best protocol, and deliver the current to the leg muscles of this patient, have those muscles exercise even in this patient's weak state, and the therapist is virtually guaranteed of a strengthening effect. So the strengthening will occur just because that therapy was delivered, and it was delivered without any difficulty. It takes 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and the job is done. Repeat that for a number of times in addition to the other interventions of the clinician, and now you'll have a much more rapid progress towards repair and towards recovery. That has been shown over and over again for many of the modalities present on this station. So that is kind of my pitch for why a therapist needs to use modalities. It is really the best way to be successful, especially in today's healthcare market.
I've been speaking with Yorick Whiting, physical therapist, and senior director of global clinical education at Chattanooga, a DJO global company. Yorick, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Frank. I enjoyed it, and I hope to do this again sometime.